What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, October 3rd, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the future class of video games, a.k.a. Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the OK Beast Blessing, Eddie Oye Jr.
Greg, can you believe that this is our last full week of Kind of Funny Games Daily before we go back to the studio?
I can't. Honestly,
it feels weird
if we're not doing some bit or whatever. No, it's super insane. Of like, you know, last night Jen was asking me about changing the background down here when she wants to take over the main desk and stuff. I was like, dang, yeah, I guess I'm like moving out. You know, I'm going to college. It's time to leave all these kids at home and see what happens to them in high school and stuff like that.
Just Ben and Jen dropping you off at the college.
Tears rolling down their faces. Me going to the Kager, throwing
he's grown up so
fast. How do you feel? So, yeah, I have a whole housekeeping thing I wrote that's really long. But, yeah, Friday the 14th, ladies and gentlemen, we open up Kind of Funny Studios, the spare bedroom. It's a marathon stream, 10 a.m. on Friday. I'll talk about it in a second. But, yeah, so if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is our final full work-from-home week, at least where we have to. Clearly, we're going to be working from home in the future again. Somebody will have a COVID outbreak. Something will happen. We need to do something. There'll be no internet, no power ever. We'll be back here. But it's our final full week where we have to work from home. And then next Monday, so 1 week from today, is going to be your final day of Kind of Funny at Home content. We do Kind of Funny Games Daily. We record the Kind of Funny podcast, and then we shut the systems down to go move into the studio, get everything ready, prep everything for Friday, and then from there on out at the studio. How do you feel, Buzz? Because I'll tell you, I do these Greg Way vlogs on Patreon now. Today's is going to touch on the fact that last Friday we went to the studio, unpacked boxes, did all this different stuff. And there was a point where I was moving boxes, and me and Mike were, and I looked at one and it said Bless. And I was like, why does Bless? Oh shit, Blessing worked in the office for like 3 months before everything got snapped away and we can't work from home people.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. I think for me, the thing Friday was being reminded that, oh shit, like these are people that I now can just hang out with just casually, right? While in the office and kick it. You know, like one of the things we did when we were there on Friday is we went into one of the rooms just to test out the computers for streaming and all that stuff. And it was me, Roger, Mike, and Kevin fucking around. And like, I've not really gotten to just fuck around with them in the same room, just kicking it like that, right? In this casual work setting. Like usually it is us in a Discord call or it's us like going to Tahoe and kicking it for a bit. But like, being able to share that space, okay, doing work
once,
together.
That happened once. It happened once, right?
But it can't happen again. But yeah, being able to just share that space with them by itself, I think was pretty cool. But then also, I have this weird thing of, I think I'm going to miss this a little bit, even though, you know, I prefer working in the studio. I think the quality of the content is going to skyrocket being in the studio. And like,
sure.
The circumstances for...
We started working from home.
We've been so terrible. But the circumstances... No, I've been so terrible, but the circumstances of working from home, right, with the pandemic and all that stuff, that alone, depressing, sad, unfortunate, for sure. All that stuff. But at the same time, working from home for the last 2.5 years, I've gotten so used to it, and I've gotten so used to like this routine of waking up, taking a shower, going to get my coffee, coming back, you know, doing KFGD at my desk here in my room, and then like finishing it, logging off, and then maybe taking a 10-minute nap or like, you know, doing whatever, booting up a game. I'm so used to this way of life now that like going into the office next week, I think I might get homesick a little bit.
Well, I mean, how exhausted were you on Friday? Like I came home and just like collapsed on the carpet. Cause you know, there is no just sit there and talk to each other through Slack. It was engaging, going to the liquor store, doing these things. Even, you know, you're talking about the, you guys getting a horse around and streamer or try streaming or whatever, like for you and me, Bless, right? Just to have a meeting, just to be able to talk to each other in person, right? Our usual weekly meeting we do through this. I was exhausted when I got home. I was spent.
I mean, I had a Lupe Fiasco concert later that night, and so I was ready to go. I was
he had no choice to be exhausted. He had to keep the energy going. Yeah. But I understand you, Greg. I understand you.
Thank you, Barrett. Thank you for being there.
At one night, because I've gone in a couple of days at this point just to kind of test the waters, especially leaving Lulu home alone, which she has not experienced because she was a COVID puppy, right? One night, I think I was passed out on our couch by like a little after 8. Just cuddling Lulu and like having some show on in the background. And then I woke up 10 minutes later. I was like, oh fuck, that's embarrassing. I hope Andy didn't come out here at all. Just like seeing me like drool on the couch, passed out.
Now, Blessing, as you know, there's tons of news to talk about today on Kind of Funny Games Daily, because that's what we do. But first, I want to compliment this sweater. Now, is this a Lupe Fiasco sweater, this green sweater?
No, it's actually a Halloween sweater.
Really?
Spirit Halloween sent it to me about a year ago. You wouldn't remember because you were on paternity leave. Because you had a son during the month of October.
Well, what's more surprising about it, Blessing, is that once again, you just don't know the Halloween colors. The fact that you would show up in a green and black thing, and maybe that's for Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. Maybe that's just
because you love orange. Can we do this on Twitch? Is that allowed?
I don't know.
But the real fact of the matter, that orange and black is the attack, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the king of Halloween wears. You might have seen this one while I was on paternity leave. If you didn't know, it's my matching Miller family Halloween pajamas, son. All right, so you sit there with your green and black attack waiting for Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed starring me. That's fine. But it's all about the pumpkins, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody than a pumpkin!
Someone in the chat said YouTube only starting tomorrow.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, we need to talk about Horizon Zero Dawn reportedly getting a PlayStation 5 release, some more games, industry acquisitions, and so much more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, and I can't stress that enough, on a variety of platforms, we come to you with the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, hey, why don't you be part of the show? You can write in for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Get your questions, comments, concerns read on each and every episode. Be part of the show and have a great time. If you're having a great time, hey, why not support us on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames? Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can write in and say whatever you want about what you think's going on with the shows, of course, how we're doing, all that stuff. But again, it's free now. kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Over on Patreon, you can get the show ad-free. You can get the show early for some of the other ones we do. You could get this bevy of bonus content we're doing now, ladies and gentlemen. Each and every month, you'll be getting 38 bonus episodes of content over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, and you can find out over there if you want to be a part of it. Remember, we've changed a whole bunch of stuff over there. You can go find out on patreon.com/kindoffunny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And then, of course, every dollar raised in the month of October goes into our big thermometer that will debut on October 14th for a big stream that'll fund new content, new shows, and all that stuff. I digress. Maybe you say, Greg, that's all well and good, but I'd rather watch live. Well, boy, howdy, do I have an info for you. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. That's right. We're streaming to both places right now. If you think we're doing a great job, why not kick us your Amazon Prime/Twitch Prime or just give us a Twitch subscription or do the YouTube super, whatever the hell they call it over there. They're both there. You can say, hey, I'm tipping you, and you do the thing and it works that way and everybody has a great time. Of course, you still have a special job if you're watching live. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. I said all of that. I talked about all of that. But if you want to go even that extra mile, Epic creator code Kind of Funny, ladies and gentlemen. When you're buying something on the Epic Game Store or downloading something for free in the Epic Game Store, playing Fortnite over on your PlayStation, playing Rumbleverse over on your Xbox, no matter where you can enter the Epic code and enter the Epic code Kind of Funny, help us fund this goddamn studio. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen, housekeeping, it's finally happening. Friday the 14th, we're moving into the spare bedroom, our 5,000 square foot state-of-the-art studio in San Francisco, and you're invited to the marathon stream to end all marathon streams. It starts at 10 a.m. Pacific. Cisco will be there. James and Elise Willems will be there. And we'll be doing some of your favorite bits live while funding a whole bunch of brand new Kind of Funny content. You don't want to miss it. Friday, October 14th at 10 a.m. Pacific. Now, that means next week will be different. Monday the 10th, we'll record Kind of Funny Games Daily and the Kind of Funny Podcast. These will be the final ones from home, but all other content, except for Greg's Gregway vlogs on Patreon, will be canceled as we move in and prep for the Friday the 14th stream. You do not want to miss this, ladies and gentlemen. Trust me. Our Rogue One in review rewatch is up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunny and podcast services. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Fargo Brady on YouTube. I appreciate that Fargo Brady. Like, he's like, you know what? I am no longer just Fargo Brady. I am Fargo Brady from the YouTube chat. You know who I am.
He figured out how to game the system. He's like, I want a sponsorship, but not with the sponsorship money. I'm just going to go become a Patreon producer. A shout out to Fargo Brady on YouTube.
Today, we're brought to you by NZXT Canvas Gaming Monitors and Shine, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 8 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. A Horizon Zero Dawn PlayStation 5 remake slash remaster is reportedly in the works alongside a multiplayer game. We go to Adam Bankhurst at IGN.com. A remaster of 2017's Horizon Zero Dawn is reportedly in the works for PS5 alongside a brand new multiplayer game for PS5 and PC. As reported by VGC and MP First, The Last of Us Part 1 remake looks to be soon joined by an updated version of Aloy's first adventure on PlayStation 4. It isn't 100% clear if this would be a full remake like The Last of Us Part 1 or just a remaster, but some of the details make it seem like it is trending more towards the latter. The reports claim this new version will add accessibility features, graphic modes, and quality of life improvements to the gameplay itself. The VGC article reports, quote, the updated version of the 2017 Guerrilla Games title will feature improved visuals to bring it up to par with this year's sequel, Horizon Forbidden West, in the form of new character models, lighting, and animation, it's claimed, end quote. Alongside the news of this remake slash remaster, the reports also claim that Guerrilla Games is hard at work on a Horizon multiplayer game for PlayStation 5 and PC. In 2020, a Guerrilla job listing was looking for a game programmer with multiplayer experience to work on an epic open world game. VGC noted that leaked Horizon Zero Dawn concept art in 2014 hinted at Guerrilla's initial plans to add a Monster Hunter-esque multiplayer mode to the game that would have players teaming up to take down massive mechanical foes. These plans never materialized, but they could be ready for Horizon 3 or a standalone game. Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Greg Miller.
Before you is the red pill and the blue pill. Do you want to talk about the remake remaster or do you want to talk about the multiplayer game?
I want to talk about the multiplayer game first, because for me, that is the exciting part of this. That's the part where that's something that I've been asking for. And I think we've been theorizing about, right, as we've had reports before about Guerrilla hiring for multiplayer. I think the natural conclusion is, oh, yeah, make a co-op Horizon game. Make a Horizon game that functions like Monster Hunter, where it is you going out with your co-op partners, you going and hunting maybe big mechanical beasts, right, and like firing off their parts, collecting different parts of these beasts, essentially having it function like a Monster Hunter game, right? But in Horizon. I think that's a really good evolution of what the franchise can be. And it also fits with what we know about PlayStation and where they're trying to go with their suite of live service multiplayer games. I think the question for me comes
more than a dozen coming, remember? More than a dozen live service games coming.
Oh, yeah, more than a dozen. And I think that's where this gets interesting is, does this fit in that live service model or is this just a multiplayer game, right? Like you're more the Monster Hunter person than I am. Monster Hunter, would you describe as something that is live service, games as a service type game, or would you just describe it as co-op multiplayer?
I mean, I'm sure this is one of those things you can argue about all day long. Personally, I would say it's a multiplayer game. It's not a games as a service game. A games as a service thing, I think, is there's a daily update to the store. This is what's happening. We're doing this thing. Multiplayer games like this and what Monster Hunter does. And granted, just for the record, of course, I played a lot of World and I reviewed the old PSP game. So if you're new around here, I'm not the Monster Hunter guy. But you figure they do giant expansions that drop. And yeah, there's like daily quests and stuff like that. But it's not like the login battle pass, this is what's going on, you know that's the, I think, a games as a service, right? What's trying to bring you back every time.
Yeah, but even with that, I can see how they could evolve it, even talking about expansions and dailies and stuff like that. I think that is an easy thing to roll in with. All right, and we also have a 4 to 5 year plan with this thing, where it is with each expansion you're getting a new area, you're getting a new type of monster to hunt, and you're getting new characters to meet in these different tribes and villages and whatnot. I think there's a lot you can do with that with Horizon, and PlayStation very obviously wants to make Horizon even more of a core thing than it already is, because at this point I'm putting Horizon in that conversation of, okay, this is a core PlayStation franchise, right?
For sure.
You have the Prestige game. They have the movie coming. Was it a movie or a TV series?
I think before we go any further, I'm going to toss my coin in that I think, isn't this the Amazon Prime series?
I think that's God of War.
Or Amazon. Is that God of War, fuck?
I think that's God of War.
There's so many announced
I think
now.
Horizon is Netflix, and I think it's a series.
Yeah, but they have that going on, and now I think we're seeing them take that further in a way that
shit, fuck yeah, it's Netflix, you're right.
It's the Netflix one. In a way that again, I make this comparison all the time, but I think it's becoming more
Gooseberry
and more
true on YouTube says fake gamer. I'm a fake streamer, all right? I'm a fake content streamer. I know the game stuff fine. I got that cold. It's when we got Twisted Metal coming to Peacock. We got Horizon on Netflix. We got God of War on Amazon.
This comparison is becoming more and more apt as we go, but I think they are really Nintendo-fying their franchises in a way where it is. Nintendo, you look at Mario, and Mario has the core 3D game. They have a 2D game. They have Mario Maker. They have Mario Party. They have Mario Kart, right? They have a movie coming up, right? They're spanning the range of, hey, what are all the different ways we can use this one IP and get everything out of it? We're seeing that happen with Horizon, and I think in some ways that is smart in the case of, yeah, make a Horizon Netflix show, and also, yeah, make a Horizon multiplayer game. But I think that then snowballs into, all right, let's take Horizon Zero Dawn, a game that came out 5 years ago, and make a PlayStation 5 version of it so that it can maybe come around the same time as a TV show. And also so that we can have a version of Horizon that is on par fidelity-wise with Horizon Forbidden West, which if you ask me if we need that, I would say no, we do not need that. Horizon Zero Dawn is very playable.
This is the whole thing where we're just doing a copy and paste of the conversation about The Last of Us Part One, right? Yes. Where it's like Back to the Futon on Twitch, set in the live chat on Twitch, says, this is, IMO, a worse choice to remake than T-Loop. If it's just a remaster, it's fine though. Which is hilarious that you're like, I can let a remaster go, whatever. Like, your PlayStation is clearly doing exactly what you're talking about, Wes. Mm-hmm. They are lining it up so that they are the PlayStation suite of IPs. You know what they are. You see them on TV. You see them on Netflix. We need look no farther than, what, 2 weeks ago for Cyberpunk Edge Runners, right? People went and watched that show. They went back to the game. Highest concurrence of all time. Of all time. So you look at it here, right? And you're going to say, okay, well, Horizon's getting its own show. It is a beloved PlayStation franchise already. Why not put it out? Because just like The Last of Us, they want you to finish The Last of Us, watch the series on HBO, and then go, that was great. We should buy a PlayStation 5 if these are games. And you go to the store and you go to Walmart, and this is the future. You buy the PlayStation 5 off the shelf, you buy Last of Us Part 1 and Part 2 off the shelf, and you go home and you play your games. And so that's the same thing here of like, oh man, this Horizon thing's great. And there's two games. Like, go there, buy the box copies and go. And we will all sit here and we will go through the whole fucking cycle again. The Matrix just keeps repeating. I'm talking about like, spoilers. What's going to happen is this game's going to come out. We're all going to review it. And everybody's going to say it is the definitive way to play Horizon Zero Dawn. But if you've already played Horizon Zero Dawn, there really isn't a reason to go do it unless you're a big fan, unless you haven't done it. There you go. And if somehow the Metacritic will be lower than the original, and everyone's like, what the fuck?
I mean, the Metacritic will be lower than the original if they decide to charge $70 for it, which I could see that timeline.
They are guaranteed. If this is a remake, which it is, I think it's going to be a remake personally in terms of the same. Well, yeah, the same way Last of Us.
The article even kind of goes back and forth with it. I kind of stitched together this article via IGN, I think citing the original source, but then VGC having their own reporting. And in the IGN article, they're like, it sounds like a remake. And that's them talking about the accessibility features, graphics modes, quality of life improvements, yada, yada. The VGC article throws in there, you know, you're going to have new character models, lighting and animations, which to me makes it a remake, which to me is like a step too far of like, all right, you're going to put out a remake. You're probably going to put it out for $70, I imagine. Because
of course they are.
And I think that makes it egregious. We do not need a remake of this. I would have a remaster, a director's cut. For $70, people need a remake of Horizon?
I hear you, and I understand, and this could even be we can even harken this back to Xbox being like, we are a platform, and PlayStation being we're generations. But this is, just like The Last of Us, not aimed at us. This is aimed at, you're buying a PlayStation, you haven't played a PlayStation in a few years and going, because even though, yes, you could buy it on PlayStation 4 and then put it over here and play it that way, right? And make it make sense that, like, that is a bridge too far for so many non-gamers of coming into that. They want to walk in and they want to see the copy and they want to buy that, or they want to go home and click and just have it there and be there. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, it's just business. Mm-hmm. And again, PlayStation's in that business. And so, egregious, does it need to happen, yada yada yada, like I would think the people who are going out and buying it on those days are going to say it needs to happen, that that's how they wanted to do it, and like they've never invested the money before, so what do they care, kind of thing.
Do you think this is successful though? Because I look at this and I and comparing it to The Last of Us thing, I do think that even though so many of us were vocal about We do not need a Last of Us remake. Last of Us came out in 2013 with a remaster that came out like years afterwards. It's a game that is still very much playable. I can play it on my PS5 right now, and it still runs well. And it's not aged that badly, yada, yada, yada. Horizon, again, came out 5 years ago. Looks pretty, like, and I there's a certain crowd for The Last of Us, and it's a crowd that I'm in that is going to replay The Last of Us remake. I replayed it. So many people I know who are big Last of Us fans replayed Last of Us remake. Even though we complained about it, we replayed it and we fucking loved it. I don't know if that crowd exists for Horizon. Well, you didn't, but I don't know if that crowd exists for Horizon. Even people who are fans of Horizon, do you want to replay Horizon Zero Dawn? Like, would you not just hop into Forbidden West, like, and get the content out of that? Like, is that game ready in the way that I think Last of Us was kind of in that middle area of, all right, new people are going to get into it, but still you have the core fan base that's going to replay it and still like it. You know what I mean?
I think in that situation, they totally might be but relying on that, though. Like, relying purely on the newer
fan newcomers?
Base. Yeah, especially if they are going to line it up with, like, the TV show or the Netflix series and stuff like that.
That's exactly what I'm saying, is it's not designed for gamers, right? I'm seeing in both chats, right? Like, Evan in the YouTube chat says, Greg, .. You can play a fantastic version of that game on the PS5, .. It's scummy business. And then over here, Adon stands alone. Yes, Greg, it is egregious. Come on. Calamity Andrew plays. Greg is being too much of an apologist here. No, guys and gals and people, what I'm fucking doing is telling you why PlayStation is doing this. You don't have to like it, but you got to accept it.
Greg, why are you defending PlayStation?
Because they don't care about you. They already got your money. And to Blessing's point, if you're some hardcore Horizon Zero Dawn fan, they're going to get your money again. They're trying to future-proof so that the wall of PlayStation 5 titles has everybody that's on TV or in a movie. I'm being an apologist. I told you I didn't even want to play Last of Us again. I didn't even play Part 1 all the way through. I was like, I'm fine with this. And then Zero Dawn? I love Horizon Zero Dawn. I am in no way, shape, or form. Fuck yeah. Let's play however many hours Zero Dawn was again. This isn't an apology thing. You come here because you want the news, right? And you want insight and you want some kind of take on it, right? Like, the take here is that they are making this not for you. Is that egregious? No, it's business. And I'm sorry to say that. I understand you think it is, but, like, again, what do you want them to do for the new PlayStation 5 player? You want them to continue to have PlayStation 4 boxes up there and have PlayStation 5 new PlayStation 5 owners go, well, I don't own that system. And then the Walmart guy has to explain it to you. The GameStop guy, if they're slow around, has to explain it to you. Like, I'm with you that's the way to do it. That's the way to save a buck. That's the way to do all of this. You're not wrong about it. It's just the fact that that's not what PlayStation wants. They want turnkey on this.
My one thing with that is that this is so, it's so artificial by PlayStation.
100%.
Right? Because it does not need to be this way, right? Like, I know the Xbox Smart delivery comparison gets made very often, but you look at Smart Delivery on Xbox, and guess what? Like, if you buy a game that came out during the Xbox One era, it doesn't necessarily feel like you're buying an Xbox One game, because it is, hey, get this, it is just an Xbox game, right? We're trying to get rid of generations.
100%. That's a beautiful system. That's a beautiful consumer-forward system.
And PlayStation are the ones that are like, no, we believe in generations. You know why we believe in generations? So we can sell this
money.
Thing
fucking money. Because we can get $70 more out of
it. It's a problem entirely created by them so they can sell you more copies of the same
100%.
Thing. 100%. Which, like, I get it, and it is business, and it is whatever. And, like, honestly, I think it is cool to some extent that we can get way prettier versions of these games. Because the other way that I think would be the more natural way of doing it, to your point of, hey, I want a PS5 box that has Horizon Zero Dawn on it, would be give me a remaster or a director's cut. Going in there and doing all this work just so you can sell it at full price again, it's egregious to me. It is egregious to me. I understand why it happens, but I'm like, man, I feel like that those resources can be used elsewhere in other ways. And I there's also a lot of frustration with the intern and from the audience. And I don't think these are mutually exclusive. But the idea of your PlayStation, you have all these IP, you have all these brands, you have all these resources to even make new games if you wanted to, and you're using that to remake Horizon Zero Dawn, like. There's so much more you can do. I don't know. I feel like for the folks that are like, yo, give me Bloodborne remake. Give me like a new Sly Cooper. Like, there's so much you can do. and getting another release of Horizon Zero Dawn is at the bottom of
it. But realistically, Guerrilla working on a remake of those games, like, of course they're not going to do that. But
no,
yeah, I see this as kind of similar to The Last of Us Part One, when people are like, oh, this is a bad use of resources. You have to think about it studio by studio, and probably like one of the conversations that they're having in Guerrilla in and of themselves is like, hey, the end of the Horizon trilogy, we're probably not going to be able to get out for another, I don't know, another 5-6 years at this point. What's something that we can release in the interim that lines up with the
multiplayer game?
The multiplayer game, but also something that's more single player focused for more casual fans who aren't into the multiplayer sphere, to align with the Netflix series and stuff like that. Again, this is me not being like, yes, I defend Sony. I'm just trying to speculate on what they're saying internally and stuff like that.
Rationalize it a bit.
Yeah.
Like, not defending Sony. Does Sony need to be defended? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, we are PlayStation Shield.
No, shut up for a second. The point here, Bless, like, you call back to Sly, right? And they have so many other things they can do with it, right? Mm-hmm. The answer then to turn that around is that nobody bought the last Sly. You did not buy enough copies of Sly to make that happen, right? And so PlayStation is doubling down and trying to make money on these, as you're talking about, PlayStation-defining IPs. Mm-hmm. Who are the Mount Rushmore of PlayStation? Put it out there. You know, again, over in the chat on games, games, that doesn't help you, Twitch, Don Stands Alone says, so call it bad then. It's not bad. Like, it's not what you want, and I get that. I totally understand it's not what you want. Guess what? It's not what I want. With all due respect, I doubt I'm going to want Horizon multiplayer either. Like, I don't want to go ahead and mission. It's just what it is, though. It's the business of making games.
You're going to want that Horizon multiplayer.
What about Ghost? Like, I enjoyed Ghost for a little bit, but I didn't come back and get hardcore like you did.
Yeah, I'm speaking for myself. I'm really excited for the multiplayer project. I think that's going to be a banger, just in the way that I think a lot of these multiplayer projects they have hopefully are bangers, because I do think that's what PlayStation needs. And I think part of my critique of it comes back to, I think, just the pure direction of what is PlayStation trying to be? Who do they want to be? Because I'm not against the idea at all of, hey, let's focus in on certain IP, because these IP are the IP that our fans have proven they want, right? You buy Horizon, so we're going to make more Horizon for you. I think that alone is fine. I think what I want for them, though, going back to the Sly example, is for them to cultivate more different kinds of IP and more different kinds of games, right? Right now, PlayStation is in a place where they are going to lose Call of Duty in probably like 6 years or so, right? Like, if Call of Duty, at the very least, their future with Call
Resistance.
Of Duty is uncertain. And I'm not saying bring back Resistance or Killzone, because I don't know if those are going to have the sales power. But, like, I do think, hey, maybe you should work on diversifying that portfolio, because continuing to put out Horizon after Horizon after Horizon isn't going to, I think, fill in that gap that is going to be lost by Xbox having both Call of Duty and also, like, a lot of good first-person shooter franchises over there between Halo, Doom, Wolfenstein, etc. And then also just having the grip of Western RPGs over there between Skyrim, Outer Worlds, and the other ones that they have with those studios over there. If I'm PlayStation right now, I'm figuring out how to get more FPSs out, and I'm figuring out how to maybe develop more bigger Western RPGs, right? In the way that, like, Horizon, more of an action RPG, Ghost of Tsushima, more action, right? Make something that is Skyrim-like, Fallout-like, right? Make something that is an actual big RPG, because you're going to start to miss that in a few years. Go for it.
I think, again, we're on the same page here. It's just, do you define this as bad or whatever? And I'm just telling you, it's the fact of the matter of doing business as PlayStation, them wanting to do this. Again, it's not a game I want. It's not a game I'll probably play, but I get why they're doing it. And I don't think it's wrong, because to your point, and to everybody's point, there's a perfectly good version of Horizon Zero Dawn on PlayStation 4 for somebody who buys a PlayStation 5. Yes, of course there is. But if you enter in that, it's a best foot forward situation. You come, you get excited by the show, you buy the brand new PlayStation 5, this premium console, you come home, you put it in, you play an old game, and there's going to be wear and tear around the corners that make it feel like not the modern Horizon Forbidden West we just got. That is the modern take on that, right? So why not put it in there and do this thing if you're PlayStation for this, right? The core of this, I think, goes back to Chun 2D2 in this games chat. Twitch chat, why I keep saying. It's kind of sad. I fell in love with PlayStation when they didn't care if something was a multi-million seller, period. Yes, I 100% get that. As the guy who was reviewing PlayStation 3 games at IGN that were weird fucking shit, like Last Guy, and then everything that would ever come to Vita, and Gravity Rush, and you toss out all these different niche titles, right, that people really loved and really were, I think, the core of what you would see at a PSX, the kind of audience you would see at a PSX, and what they loved and what they didn't love there, and yada yada yada. Like, I get that, and I understand that, and I agree with that. Again, like, Horizon Zero Dawn Remake Remaster is not going to move the needle for me. I'm sure it will be prettier. I'm sure it will be cool. I'm sure I'll probably start it up to play like the hour of it or whatever, but I doubt it'll be like, I need to replay this because I'm not that guy. And so I think they're not building it for me, and they're not building it for you, person listening to this, unless you're the Horizon super fan that can't get enough of it. And they're just building it for it. So when you go to buy it, they can buy it. And yeah, they can get the $70 off of somebody and make it easy to understand, because back to Blessing's point, smart delivery is very smart. It is very great. It makes the Xbox seem like such a unified ecosystem, and PlayStation would have a very hard time explaining that on the back of the PlayStation 5 box to people, I think.
Yeah, I feel that.
I feel you.
Thank you.
Number two on the Roper Report. Sony is reportedly making 2 million PlayStation VR 2 units for launch. Ryan Dinsdale at IGN.com. And I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, this is your put up or shut up moment. If Greg's a if Greg's a fucking Sony defender because he's saying, explaining to you why PlayStation is remastering this, and you're like, oh man, I just wish they did weird shit. Well, motherfucker, here's some weird shit. Here's 2 million weird shits that's coming out to you. Fucking buy them. Oh, but it's not backwards compatible. This is what you wanted. You wanted the weird shit. It's coming straight at your fucking face. We got Ryan Dinsdale at IGN.com. Sony appears to be expecting a successful PlayStation VR 2 launch, as it's reportedly making 2 million units of the headset ahead of its early 2023 release date. According to Bloomberg, sources familiar with Sony's operations said the company is hoping to produce the next 2 million units between September 2022 and March next year. It's worth noting that while the ending of production in March suggests a release date around the same time, it could also refer to the end of the launch window for the PlayStation VR 2. Sony's official release window for the headset is still somewhat vague, quote, early 2023. Unlike most other bits of gaming hardware, Bloomberg's sources said the PlayStation VR 2 hasn't faced supply chain issues that have slowed production. In fact, Sony is reportedly in a position to adjust its production numbers depending on how the device sells at launch. Temperature check, bless. PlayStation VR 2, where are we at?
What do they know that we don't know? Why do they think it's going to sell this much? There's a lot of units being produced.
Yeah, but remember the first one did a million, no sweat. And so you figure this one's going to be better, cooler, better games.
But that was also a time where VR was more exciting for people.
Yeah, I think
we know what VR is now, you know?
I think PS4s were more available.
Also true. But here's a chicken and the egg thing, right? Of like, we knew what VR was then, or we thought now we know what VR is, as Barrett said, right? I think we also now know what PlayStation VR is. And I like PlayStation VR. You know what I mean? I'm over the headset and all the cables and all that stuff. I'm excited for the next one. I've thought there was something the other day that came to PlayStation. Oh no, I'm playing a lot of Dreams lately. I'm doing this Halloween thing I want to do in Dreams. So I was like, oh man, I'm I want to do this in, huh?
You're talking about the new All Hallows Dream thing?
That's coming up on the 20th. That's a whole can of worms I'm gonna explain to you eventually, probably on PSLW this week, of what's going on with me and Dreams and stuff. And I want to, it doesn't matter anyways, though. I thought, do I want to bust out VR for this? And I was like, you know what, no, I don't. But I'm excited for PlayStation VR 2, and I'm gonna get there. And also the fact that there aren't as many PlayStation 5s out there as there were PlayStation 4s, right? I still think the PlayStation 5s are, in for the most part, the hardcore gamers' hands, right, in terms of like our audience and people who are in it. And remember, that was the success story of PlayStation VR that truly surprised me, is that it sold really well, the attach rate was great, the audience was supportive, and they weren't pissed off and regretted their decision. I haven't done this temperature check-in in a while, but at the time, I remember being like, oh, we haven't talked about VR yet. Is anybody like mad they bought it? And there wasn't like a groundswell of like, yeah, I got ripped off, this sucks.
Yeah.
So I think it could work out. And again, is 2 million going to be what they sell, or is it just going to be what they have ready and yada, yada, yada? Like, I'm excited for it. Like, I don't know how it'll... not always, I guess. I do expect PlayStation VR still to be the whatever, once in a while carnival kind of atmosphere. It's not what I do every night when I sit down and turn on my PlayStation 5, but there's going to be those games I want to do.
I do think I should be more excited for it, given how much I did enjoy PSVR 1. Right? PSVR 1, I think back to all my time, to my time with that thing fondly, right? Whether it was Trover, whether it was Blood and Truth, whether it was Tetris Effect, Astrobot, Beat Saber, the list of games actually goes on. PSVR 1 had, I think, had a surprisingly good library. And maybe I think right now for PSVR 2, I'm not as excited because they haven't sold it to me yet. I think I'm still waiting on whatever the PSVR 2 showcase is, where it is. All right, here's boom, boom, boom. Like, here's all these exciting games. Not that PSVR 1 necessarily had all these exciting games at launch, because I do think that was somewhat of a slow burn. But right now, in terms of the big PSVR 2 games, what we're sitting on, Horizon, Call of the Mountain. We got, did they say Resident Evil Village or 4? Or Village? Was it Village? Is getting a VR mode. So that's cool, but that doesn't necessarily, you know, that doesn't make me go crazy for it, right? There's Walking Dead Saints and Sinners 2, which I'd want to try out. And then what else is there for
that Star Wars one, which is the Galaxy's Edge, Edge of Galaxy's Edge, or whatever the hell it's called.
Tales of Galaxy's Edge or something like
Tales
that.
Tales of Galaxy's Edge, yeah.
And that doesn't do it for me as much. I guess right for now the library seems thin, and so I'm not
sure, but I mean they're not ramping up, right? They want to get past God of War and get you sold on that and everything else. For me, this is funny because we actually didn't really talk a lot about, we glossed over in our Horizon rambling about the remake, about the multiplayer stuff, right? Where it's like, the multiplayer doesn't excite me for Horizon. Yeah, I'll play it for a little bit. Hopefully I get hooked, yada, yada, yada. But like a VR Horizon does. Like I'd love to be in that world from a different perspective with a different character and go through and see all that and have that experience. And like, for me, that's all, I should say all I need, but that's a great entry point of like, this is the first premiere thing that's going to be there. And sure, Walking Dead seems cool. It seems like it'll be, from what the demo I did of it, makes it seem like a giant open world RPG in VR, which is neat. But then also, like, I look at that and I'm like, I'm not going to want to spend, you know, 30 hours with that thing strapped to my face, but like, whatever. Let's see what those experiences are and if PlayStation's supporting that. And if they're putting these IPs again that we're talking about in there, what is it going to look like and what else are they going to add?
Yeah. Funny enough, I think the thing that would sell me completely would be if there's a new Astrobot somewhere in those first 6 months.
Sure.
I don't know if that's expecting too much because Astro's Playroom was only a couple of years ago at this point. But yeah, like, Astrobot Rescue Mission was such a, oh shit, VR is actually really good. Like, that was a moment for me playing that game. And I think for a lot of people, I remember a lot of people describing it as like the Mario 64 of VR. And I actually feel that way too. Like, it was such a good VR game. And it was a game that sold me on the platform. Another one of those somewhere in that first year, I think would do it for me and get me excited. But I'll play Horizon Call of the Mountain. I'm not super excited for it, but I've also just not looked into it as much. Yeah, I've seen the trailers that we've seen in State of Plays. Yeah. But none of it, like, it just seems like more Horizon, which I'm down for, but I think the VR-ness of it makes me think that it's not going to be the Horizon that I know and love. You know, Horizon Forbidden West, I love because of the open world exploration and because, like, of the combat and the story and all this stuff, right? Horizon Call of the Mountain, different characters, it's not going to have that same kind of gameplay. I know we did a preview of it on PS Love You that I didn't get to be on because I was at D23.
You should listen to Tam's thoughts on it, because the way he sold it, and like, I'm not even a huge Horizon fan or even a VR fan, but the way he was talking about it, I was like, oh, this sounds cool. Like, if someone else has a PSVR 2 and they have Horizon, I might check it out for a little bit, because it sounds cool. I just worry about motion sickness, but we'll see.
We can set up a VR. I'll bring my VR into the studio because we'll be working in person. And
it'll be next to your station, your Steam Deck station, where people can get
Yes.
games.
In my fighting game station, because I don't know if you heard that when last
time. Damn, you have so many stations here, Bless.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to create more space for my desk. But yeah, I'm bringing in a fight stick, and so there'll be like a mini fighting game station at my desk as well.
Can I play?
I need to figure out a cool name for it, chat. If you can figure out a cool name for Blessing's fighting game station.
Blessing stick.
No.
Maybe not. No, I don't know about that. Listen.
Come grab Blessing Stick.
No, definitely not.
Who wants to challenge me on Blessing Stick?
Come over to my desk. Grab my stick. Let's play.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've said it before. We'll say it again. This all happens because of patreon.com/kindoffunny and patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, which have recently been unified into one Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames or patreon.com/kindoffunny and get all of our content. That's right, every piece of content, ad free sometimes early depending on what show you're watching. You know, you get to watch it live if it's one of the main podcasts on Games and Kind of Funny Prime. Now it's all unified for just $10, so you can go there, you can do all that stuff, and then of course you can go up and you can get the exclusive bonus shows, you can get the Greg Wave vlogs, you can have a great time, you can watch Mike interview Cliff Bleszinski tomorrow on Remember Gears of War, our first episode of Remember Blank. It's a whole thing. It's all explained on patreon.com/kindoffunny and patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But most importantly for right now, you can go there to get the show ad-free. But since you're not there, here's a word from our sponsors.
Shout out to NZXT Canvas Gaming Monitors. We are huge fans of NZXT here at Kinda Funny. And I gotta say, these monitors, they're Andy Cortez approved, Kevin Coelho approved, and Tim Gettys approved because of their sweet 1440p resolution with 165 hertz refresh rate and 1 millisecond response hits. That sweet spot for gamers due to the balance of picture and performance. They're available in 27 inch and 32 inch curved displays, variable refresh rate support for all of the major your GPUs. They provide an excellent gaming experience for any game genre. You can get the monitor just alone, you can get it with a stand, or you can get it with some pretty cool mounts. There's built-in software support with NZXT Cam that lets you control all your monitor settings directly on your PC. No need to mess with the clunky hardware menus to lock in your desired settings. They thought of it all. It's sold exclusively on NZXT.com. You can learn more about the NZXT Canvas gaming monitors at NZXT.co/kindoffunny. That's NZXT.co/kindoffunny. Shout out to Chime for sponsoring this episode. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? I don't think so. At Chime, that's exactly what they do. With their secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start to build credit with your own money. All of this with no annual fees, large security deposits, or credit checks to apply. You can start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. You can get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank NA pursuant to a license from Visa, U.S. USA Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary and some user scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply, except at MoneyPass ATMs in a 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Get your credit journey started with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes, doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames.
Bless, how great is Metal Gear as a franchise?
That's so good. We're going to get another one. You know,
I was just thinking about it. That has nothing to do with the news, everybody. I was just daydreaming about Peace Walker for a second. Number three on the Roper Report, Dead Space is getting a gameplay reveal tomorrow. We go to the tweet that says Dead Space. Well, it's from Dead Space's Twitter. Trailer tomorrow. Tune in at 8 a.m. Pacific for the first official look at hashtag Dead Space gameplay. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been toying around here with doing some of the old gameplay reveals and trailers and watch alongs here live and reaction. So tomorrow we will be on Kinda Funny Games Daily watching this and reacting live to it when we start the show. So if you want to be like us, don't watch it ahead of time at 8 a.m. Wait till 10 o'clock and watch it with us, or watch ahead of time and then come and just see how we react to it and stuff like that. But Blessing, are you stoked?
I'm excited to see it. It's funny because all my excitement right now is for Callisto Protocol.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's because we've seen so much of it, and it's a little bit of a known quantity now. And so I'm like, oh shit, okay, I'm excited for this. All the gore, all the crazy shit looks really awesome. Whereas Dead Space Remake, and this is going to be the gameplay reveal, right? So we've not seen that much of it.
Yeah, you've seen, like, you know, they did a bunch of the dev streams where they kind of showed like early stuff and we're working through it and yada. But this is like their big, here you go.
I hope it looks dope. You're probably more of a Dead Space fan than I am. Does this get you excited?
Oh yeah, I can't wait. The fact that we're getting Callisto and then like a month later Dead Space, I'm so stoked. I'm so stoked. But I think it makes it hard for both of them in some regard, but definitely Dead Space of, cool, we remade Dead Space. And they're like, all right, well, how true to it did you stay? And does that feel like a dated thing? And how does the Ishimura feel and all that jazz? So to see what gameplay looks like and what the game looks like will be huge, because not too long ago, for some reason, I was watching original Dead Space footage for something. Maybe it was B-roll we were watching, and it was just like, oh man, like, talk about rose-tinted glasses. I remember this being so scary in detail. You look at it now, you're like, oh yeah, this is definitely an old game that we were playing at the time, but we didn't know any better. So I'm stoked for tomorrow. So
I remember it being terrifying. I had I had a Dead Space mobile game that I played, and I remember that even that being terrifying, playing it on my small screen. Like, Dead Space, I think, does such a good job of capturing its horror in like a very Resident Evil like way, and it works for me. Like, I get scared of that shit. And so I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. You can watch live with us tomorrow, Kinda Funny Games Daily. For now, though, we'll move on to number four. Fandom acquires GameSpot, Metacritic, Giant Bomb, and other sites. This is Danielle Partis over at gamesindustry.biz. entertainment platform Fandom has acquired a number of gaming brands from Red Ventures, including GameSpot, Metacritic, and Giant Bomb, as well as several other media sites. The deal will see the above brands combined into Fandom's main platform, according to the company. It will also, quote, continue to expand Fandom's global fan platform to super serve entertainment and gaming fans as well as partners, end quote. Other brands included in the transaction are Guide's website GameFAQs, entertainment sites Cord Cutter News and Comic Vine, and television programming website TV Guide. The terms of the acquisition were not disclosed. Quote, we are thrilled to add these powerful, authoritative brands into the Fandom platform, which will expand our business capabilities and provide immersive content to our partners, advertisers, and fans, said Fandom CEO Perkins Miller. No relation. The trusted insights, ratings, and content they provide will make us a one-stop shop for fans across their entertainment and gaming journey. GameSpot, Metacritic, and Giant Bomb were sold to Red Ventures in 2020 as part of the firm's $500 million acquisition of CNET Media Group from the previous owner, Viacom CBS.
Wow.
Games media, never a dull moment. Not just the games, the layoffs, the news sites, the Patreons, the firings, the acquisitions, the merging. Jeff Grubb going around. Nobody knows what's happening anymore.
Yeah, big moves are always happening in this side of the industry. This is one that I don't know if it's scary or not. I think that might be a wait and see situation of, all right, let's see how this goes. Because I think the big fear when it comes to mergers and acquisitions is just like all the transitional stuff that happens.
Yep.
People that get laid off, big changes that happen, like revenue that needs to be met, right? And what do we have to do as the parent company to now like restructure to make sure that we're hitting the goals that we want to hit? I think that is the scary part of it. I think on the brighter side of it, for Red Ventures, I don't know if I heard much like positivity around Red Ventures. Like Red Ventures, even as they're acquiring the CNET group from Viacom, I remember just being like, wait, what is Red Ventures again? I've never heard of Red Ventures. At least Fandom is like a known quantity to some extent. And if Red Ventures didn't see the value in these sites and they're trying to offload, thank God they got acquired. Like they're not just like dissolving them or just letting them go or whatever. And so now it is on Fandom to treat these sites well, right, and do good by the people that work here. And so hopefully the changes that happen are good changes. But yeah, I don't know whether I should be like, ugh, or whether I should be like, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing about it, right? Where I'm doing a quick Google, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I remember when Fandom. God, I'm going to fuck it all up. But I remember when Fandom had people and they were going to make their own games editorial division. And I think they poached people from IGN GameSpot. I cannot remember if we were already gone and doing Kind of Funny if we were still at IGN. But I know that fizzled out and never went anywhere. And of course, building something is harder than acquiring something and doing something. And so you hope they acquired GameSpot, Giant Bomb. No, and of course, because they're what we're talking about in terms of games media. And of course, tons of our friends work there. You hope they acquire them, and it is the idea of we love what you do and we want you to do that for us and keep going. But it also is always that fear of it's basically a Tommy Boy, right? Where Dan Aykroyd's guy wants to acquire Callahan Parts just for the box and keep the name on the box, right? Like that's all he wants out of it. So it's like, what does Fandom really want to do with GameSpot and Giant Bomb? Do they want them to keep being themselves, or are they going to say, it's kind of silly, you guys are two different sites, why don't we merge you back together? You merge them back together. Okay, well, now there's redundancy, so of course you get rid of Jeff Grubb, just a horrible person. And then you keep moving things around, like there's parts on the board and all these things. And like, that's the whole thing is, these are always a hold your breath and hope for the best. And sadly, usually with acquisitions do come layoffs, because now you have a new group in there. And, you know, to do this conversation and not know anything about what's happening and how long it's been going as well, right? There's also then this conversation of think about, and I joked about Jeff. Jeff obviously is a friend of the show. He's been on a bunch and usually he's in the chat, but I don't know what he's doing today or if he's even there. But it's that idea of, okay, well, Jeff just started there. Giant Bomb just got restructured. How much of what was pitched as the restructure or coming to work for us is going to be intact with new owners who could, of course, say, that's not really what we want. We want you to be looking for this. And this could go for GameSpot as well and a million other places and things like that. It's a big question mark at this point.
Yeah.
You hope for the best. You look for the best. Usually what I like about this is that anytime you have these kind of things, Red Ventures was looking to get out of the GameSpot/Giant Bomb business.
Yeah.
Fandom was interested in getting into that business. It's always better to be interested in getting in than getting out. Because eventually, if you can't sell it, you close it down, you strip it for parts, you do whatever, and yada, yada, yada. So... In the long, it turns in the short term, this is good because there's interest for it. I'm sorry, what plus?
it turns into a Game Informer situation of, hey, we're GameStop. We either we don't want to sell or we can't find anybody to sell this to. All right, cool. Let's strip, like, let's lay off people and then let's get into NFTs or whatever the move is to make that thing profitable that you don't care about anymore. Right. Like, it could be that situation. And thank God it's not that situation. And to your point, you know, I think the question for me is, how much does fandom know what they're getting into? Like, do they understand what GameStop or GameSpot is? Do they understand what Giant Bomb is? Giant Bomb especially, right? Because Giant Bomb, I think, is a unique thing on the media side of the industry, right? They're more like us than they are in IGN. And so when you're getting into something like Giant Bomb, do you understand the financial structure of it? Do you understand the size of it? Do you understand the appeal of it and why people go to a site like that versus a site like GameSpot, right? I that's the fear. Hopefully, again, hopefully they treat these sites well, right? And hopefully this doesn't result in like layoffs and all the shit that we typically see when it comes to these weird transitional moments of the industry.
Yep, and that's what we have to do. In the You're Wrong, Nanobiologist, of course, says, I can't find anything about Fandom Gaming editorial. They had 3 closed services, according to their wiki, that were open, serving a web publishing project, Armchair GM, and a sports forum in search engines called Wikia Search. Cool. I remember Jack DeVries went there and worked there, and I forget what happened over there. But
someone in the chat said that they have games editors.
Oh, okay. And then Nanobiologist in the live chat says, so far everyone who was part of the acquisition is okay with it and no layoffs. Yes, I can speak from experience. Usually what happens is, what's up? We're your new owners. We're excited to be here and learn. And then it's a month or a couple months down the line, we're like, listen, there were redundancies. Things had to go, blah, 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 blah. It's not, hello, how are you? You get the fuck out. Yeah, I'm here to make, it's like prison. Punch somebody in the face and throw them out. Like, all right, I'm the fucking boss now. This is how it goes, you know? We'll wait and see, everybody. But of course, best wishes to all of our friends and family over there as they navigate. You know, it's always a scary and interesting thing of, all right, well, how does everything in your life now revolve around a new company? What do they want for you? As a reminder, Kinda Funny is 100% independent, and we're launching a brand new, very expensive studio October 14th. Come out and support. Say, hey, watch, give away some subs. Support on Patreon if you think we're doing a good job. We're great, by the way. Obviously, everything's great. But just to remember, as we have seen, fan bite. As we have seen Game Informer layoffs, as we have seen everything else going on in games media, like, yeah, there's always those things. Oh man, it sucks that's going away. And it does help if you support. And I made a joke about us. Obviously, we are doing incredibly well. We're always doing great. And please support, come to the studio launch, yada, yada, yada. But also, like, obviously, remember, share the things you enjoy. What is the number one thing that gets shared on my timeline all the time? Look at this stupid fucking article that said all video game people are lizards. That's what people love. I'm mad, so I want to share this. Share the review you like for the day. Share the video you enjoyed that morning. Just support the people that you get entertainment from. It's so easy to listen to, watch a video, read a review, move on with your life. And then it's the thing that you hate. You're like, oh my God, everybody look at this. And it totally sends the wrong message. And then your favorite site closes or lays people off because nobody's clicking on those articles. Like, oh, but I love those articles. Well, I never heard you talk about those articles. I never heard you talk about that thing. I digress. Patreon.com/kindoffunny. Give us money. Number 5 on the Roper Report. Halo's developers reportedly switching to Unreal Engine. This is Andy Robinson over at VGC. Halo Infinite developer 343 Industries is reportedly planning to ditch its proprietary Slipspace engine for Unreal. That's a weird name. That's according to journalist Jeremy Penter, who wrote on Sunday, quote, I can only confirm that many sources are saying this and very clear that it's already been decided and Halo is for sure switching to Unreal. If accurate, it's not clear what this decision would mean for Halo Infinite itself, which 343 has publicly committed to supporting for a decade. If 343 has indeed decided to switch to Unreal, it would follow a long line of development road bumps, as well as significant departures, including the lead engineer behind the Slipspace engine himself, who was confirmed to have left last month.
That's wild, right? Like, do games like this usually switch engines halfway through, like, their release? Right, like, Halo Infinite came out, what, has it been a year ago? 2 years ago? A year ago? 2 years ago.
It came out last year.
In my head, I was like, oh, yeah, it was a launch title for the Xbox, but then, no, it got delayed a year. But it came out a year ago, right? And so to probably be, a couple of years into its release, and then switching engines into a game that is designed and planned to be an ongoing title, right? To live for at least, I assume, 5 or so years, maybe 10 years if they're going that long. That seems pretty wild. And I gotta assume that's because on the back end, maybe that is what's contributing to some of the problems in terms of them not being able to get updates out as timely, right? I wonder if development on that engine is just fucking difficult, and the player base has these demands of, hey, we want more maps, we want more modes, we want XYZ thing, and they're just like, hey man, we're doing the best we can with Slipspace, but let me tell you, this thing is not letting us get these things out on time. Maybe Unreal would just be an easier way to do that. But either way, I think this is fascinating. I'm curious to see, will the game feel different? Like, what does that do to the game if they are transitioning an engine all of a sudden?
Yeah, I'm rereading this.
Someone said this, Destiny.
It has to be for
overall?
The next one, right? It can't be. You're not going to redo the game because the lead is the developer is switching, not the game.
So you think this is for.
I can Halo only confirm that many Infinite sources are saying they're very clear that it's already been decided and Halo is for sure switching to Unreal. It doesn't say Halo Infinite. If accurate, it's not clear what this decision would mean for Halo Infinite itself, which 343 has publicly committed to. Like, I'm stupid and I don't make games for a reason. I just play them and talk about them. But I can't imagine you're switching the game to Unreal as much as the rest, the next project and where you go from there. Am I wrong?
So you think there's a Halo Infinite 2 around the corner?
I mean, they're definitely making something else, right? They're not just going to shutter the company.
Well, I would think that the way you would go about it is to just keep on building on Infinite and find a way to you know, bring it back, right? Not that it's like fucking dead in the water, but if you keep turning out stuff for it, like Halo Infinite, I think is a good base. That is a fun video game to play. Mechanically, it is sound and it is really fun. The only problem I think with Halo Infinite is just the lack of features and the lack of content, stuff that you would expect for Halo to have. In at least within the first year, right? Things like campaign co-op, things like Forge, things like all these requested features that fans have, right? More maps, you know, more just updates in general. I think that is what the core issue is, and I'll think that if that's the case, then the way to fix it is to figure out how to get those updates out on time and at a good cadence. I don't think it's necessarily redoing the entire thing, but maybe it is. Maybe that's the best way to speed this up if the current engine isn't. Like, is it up to par to get those updates out?
That's what I say to that. Yeah, I'm out of my element. And then I started running through developers I could call to ask them this question. I'm like, no, well, that person works for Microsoft. And okay, well, that person's a PlayStation person. That wouldn't work out.
Can you call somebody from Nintendo?
Well, no, I mean, that doesn't help us either. You know what I mean?
Hey, Miyamoto, we'll see. We'll what do you think about these engine
means.
Issues?
We'll wait and see what this means. We are pretty much out of time. I want to do an hour-long show, so I don't want to go into an hour and a half-long show. So number six on the Roper Report, Activision Blizzard Chief Compliance Officer Francis Townsend has stepped down. This is Adam Bakehurst over at IGN. I'll give you the intro. Activision Blizzard Chief Compliance Officer Francis Townsend, who was previously criticized for her actions following the news of the company's sexual harassment lawsuit, has stepped down from her role at the company and will now serve as an advisor to the board and CEO Bobby Kotick. There you go. Remember, yeah, good. Townsend was criticized by Activision Blizzard employees and others for her actions following the public announcement of the lawsuit filed against Activision Blizzard over allegations of the frat boy culture and sexual harassment. Townsend called the allegations distorted and false, while she said her statement was made following legal counsel's guidance on language and that the end result no longer sounded much like her voice. She then would tweet a link to an article, The Problem with Whistleblowing, on her personal social media account. After these events, she stepped down as an executive sponsor of the ABK Women's Network.
We did
it. Get the fuck out of here.
We defeated the evil of Activision Blizzard.
At least the Francis.
I'm going to tell people to fuck off.
There's still an advisory on the board, so, you know. And what's his face is still there, you know.
You know she's bad.
They're all lame ducks until Microsoft takes over.
You know she's bad news when you have this quote at the end of the article that says, quote, Fran did a truly exceptional job, actually four jobs, with continuously increasing responsibilities and the most exemplary work ethic, end quote. Kotick wrote in an email shared but with Bloomberg News. Bobby Kotick is out here being like, yo, my girl Fran, she's awesome. That's how you know that Fran is not good. So yes, get her out of here.
When the reference is Bobby Cody, like, oh no, that's not where we want to be. We don't want that at all. Number seven,
like,
on the rope.
Imagine somebody like applying to Kind of Funny, and then they have the references, and like Bobby one of the Kotick. References is Satan. Like, whoa, I don't think you should work in this company.
Number seven on the Roper Report, three lead Disco Elysium creatives confirmed their departure from the studio. This is Ollie Welsh at Polygon. Three key creatives behind the acclaimed noir role-playing game Disco Elysium have confirmed that they have left the game's developer. And I've heard people say it out loud. Zaum or is it ZA/UM?
I've never figured this one out. I think I go Zaum.
We're gonna say Zaum from here, everybody. All right. Leap Victor in the chat says Greg would hire that person, and out of context, that sounds way bad. But of course, me and the Dark Lord, we got an understanding. So yeah, it makes sense. Lead writer and designer Robert Kurvitz, art and design lead Alexander Rostov, and writer Helen Hindpeer made a brief statement on Rostov's Twitter saying simply, "We confirm we are no longer with the studio." The trio moved to confirm their departure following a post on Medium by Martin Lugia. No. Luga, who worked on Disco Elysium as an editor. Luga said that neither Kurvitz, Hindpeer, or Rostov are working there since the end of last year, and their leaving the company was involuntary. The three creatives did not back up the latter claim, nor say anything about the circumstances surrounding their departure. For its part, Zaum provided a statement to IGN in response to Luga's post, seeking to highlight the group effort behind the game and its next project. Like any video game, the development of Disco Elysium was and still is a collective effort, and every team member's contribution essential. Every team member's contribution essential and valued as part of the greater whole. At this time, we have no further comment to make other than Zaum Creative's team's focus remains on development of our next project. We are excited to share more. Yada 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 yada.
That's a
drama.
Yeah, industry drama. It sucks to see these people that were leads leave the studios seemingly in an involuntary way, and it's that thing of you don't know everything here is foggy, right, in terms of what happened. Like, were they forced out? Why were they forced out? Who was shitty in the situation? What happened? But either way, for me, as somebody who I really like Disco Elysium, I'm looking forward to a Disco Elysium 2. Sucks to see these people leave, especially because they were core in its development, right? You have somebody who's a lead writer, Robert Kurvitz, right? Like, Disco Elysium is nothing if not its writing. And so I imagine if he's leaving, that means that that game is going to undergo a huge change just in terms of whatever the tone is and the quality of writing. And again, that could be good. That could be bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is terrifying to see something, or it sucks to see the game in a state that seems turbulent, right? Like, I don't think the Disco Elysium 2 is going to be the same as Disco Elysium 1, just in terms of what the general vibe is, what the quality of writing is and all that stuff, right? Like, expect big changes for the second game. If the second game even comes out, which now I guess we'll see.
We will see, ladies and gentlemen. Just like we'll see number 8 on the Roper Report, Fallout celebrating its 25th anniversary. Bethesda doing a bunch for the 25th anniversary of Fallout. You can see it up there. You can get it on your Twitters. You can do a whole bunch of different stuff. But the next Fallout is the one we all care about, Blessing. And that's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah! Out today, Guardian Tales on Switch, Marauders on PC, and Mars Base on PC. That's it.
Wow. Okay. That is it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask people watching live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Bander SN writes in and says, just a reminder, Spider-Man Remastered featured new lighting, improved textures, accessibility options, ray tracing, and replaced the entire Peter Parker model. These are the exact same features of the Horizon article states. So again, maybe you get that.
I don't know if they're the exact same features. Like, yes, Peter Parker changed. But here is in the article, they say what? The updated version of the 2017 will feature improved visuals to bring it up to par with this year's sequel, Horizon Forbidden West, in the form of new character models, lighting, and animations. New character models, lighting, and animations. It was just the Peter Parker model that was changed. That was
But they also they listed lighting, but it's also you know, models could mean they like replace some.
It's spruce it up. You know?
Yeah, just to spruce it up a little bit, Kabob's and also to bring it up to par to this year's Forbidden West. You have to remember that's a cross-gen title as well. That's not a fully native PS5 game.
Kabob's pops in live on You're Wrong and says Spider-Man Remastered only replaced Peter's head, not his entire body. Which is such a ridiculous sentence to read. Whatever. Spoilers, everybody. They're going to charge you $70 for the Horizon Zero Dawn. All right. You don't have to like it, but you got to accept it. And then Nanobiologist pops in and is very much speaking from his heart, and that's going to lead to a Greg whooping. Greg said Sly 4 didn't sell well, but Sly Cooper 3 sold about 860,000 copies, and Sly 4 sold about 850 copies across Vita and PS3. So it sold equally to its predecessor, and its predecessor got a sequel. This is just a hit piece against the Thievius Raccoon. Nanobiologist, you're fucking smarter than this, all right? You're telling me that PlayStation looks at it and is like, oh man, let's make a sequel to this game. That game is on two platforms and sells 10,000 copies less. And they're like, ah, close enough. Let's do a fucking another one. That's a failure. That is a failure, sir. That game failed because you didn't want to buy it and play it, ladies and gentlemen. And now you sit here and you go, oh my God, PlayStation's so bad. They keep remaking the successful games. Why? Why? Because you didn't support the Vita. Where were you when Sly needed you? Where were you? You weren't here. You weren't buying it. 10,000 of you were like, you know what? I don't want to play it again. Bah, not my cup of tea. Now, guess what? Here's T-Loop Part 1, Zero Dawn, $70. What are you going to do about it? Oh, we want Bloodborne. I don't know why they're not doing that. That seems like a great idea. I don't have an answer for that one. I don't know about that one.
Every single day, I'm reminded about how fortunate I was during the PS2 era to make the choice of Ratchet and Clank as my go-to PS2 platformer, as opposed to Sly or Jak and Daxter. Again, nothing against those games, but one of them still lives. Thank God. I made the right decision.
Ladies and gentlemen, you made the right decision by watching Kinda Funny Games Daily. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow because we're here each and every weekday. Your host for our final week, our final full week of work from home. Tomorrow, it's going to be me and Blessing. Wednesday, it's going to be Blessing and me. Thursday, it'll be Blessing and Tim. Friday, it'll be Tim and Blessing. Of course. Remember, of course, we'll come back then next week for one more Kinda Funny Games Daily from home on Monday. And then we'll do a Kinda Funny podcast. But then we shut down the lights, we shut down everything, and we get ready for October 14th. Friday, the marathon stream to end all marathon streams as we introduce you to the Kinda Funny spare bedroom. We can't wait. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching live right now, guess what? KFFL is up next. Mike and Andy are here for another week. Of course, you can watch it, like I said, live. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames, YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. But if you're like, oh, no, I'm not live. I'm driving my UPS truck right now. Thank you for your service. And of course, remember, you can get all the archives of our live stuff on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Remember, since we're streaming everything to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, the archives just live there instantaneously now. So we sunset it. Kinda Funny Plays. That channel is over there until we need it probably in 3 more years when we redo everything. But like I said, a bunch of stuff's changed over on patreon.com/kindoffunny and Kinda Funny Games, which are now one thing. So eventually I'm just going to say one of them, and you'll have to understand that it's all of them. Go over there, find out about all the shows, find out about watching live exclusive content, 38 episodes. I got to record a Greg Way right after this. I'm having a great time over here. If you didn't know though, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, why not head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, kick us a few bucks to say, hey, you're doing pretty good. I hope you never sell to some company that sells you to another company that sells you to another company, and before you know, it's just Greg going, da da da, yeah. That's what I think they'd do to me if I became an NFT. NFTs move, they move, right?
I'm sure some of them do. I'm sure they have some gifts in there.
NFTs fucking suck. Oh my goodness. Of course, you can watch live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames as we record it. You can write in for free now, ladies and gentlemen, kindoffunny.com/kfgd whenever you have something to say to us. And of course, you can get it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Now, Blessing and I are going to do more content somewhere else and do other stuff. I got the Greg Wave vlog to do, but Mike and Andy are going to play football. So until next time, it's been a pleasure to serve you.